You can take this Dead Set Legends podcast anywhere, but to help the players at your local club really go places, see holden.com.au/homegroundadvantage to find out how they can share in $5 million worth of grants.
Embers here, and thanks for downloading another Dead Set Legends podcast with Angela Sun and Adrian Barrage.
This week, we caught up with Peter Sumic to find out what went wrong with the Dockers.
We spoke to NRL head Todd Greenberg about the Battle of the West.
And we had a chat to Ben Voges about his brother Adam's sensational Test cricket debut.
Peter Sumic joins us on the line, assistant coach Frio, Eagles legend. G'day, Sum. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, good morning, Adrian.
Good on you coming on too, mate. Sometimes people go missing after losses, but not you. You're always front up. What do you reckon, mate? Was there a bit of battle fatigue? Do you reckon the six-day break, did it have any effect on the team?
No. Look, they had a six-day break too, and they travel. So, you know, there's no excuses there, Adrian, in that sense. You know, we've been up and about for a while, and that's fine. 6 days, 7 days, 8 days, I don't think in today's footy there's any excuses with that, especially if it's an even playing field with both sides on the 6 day. So, no excuses.
So, you've been around footy for a long time. Did you feel like there are any warning signs in the warm-up that your team was just not mentally prepared last night?
No, it wasn't, Evers. I suppose with the Michael Johnson 200th, everyone was up and about, and, you know, we had a good week on the training track, even though it was very light, of course. And everyone was buzzing around, and we understand, you know, with Michael's 200th. And so there was no signs. And the boys were, you know, Friday night footy for them. I think it's only one for the club. So they were up and about to have a real crack at it.
Defensively this year, you've been very good, Sum. And even to keep Richmond to 21 inside 50s in the first half was a good effort. But were you concerned how easily Richmond were able to score when they went inside their forward line?
Yeah. No, it's a good point, mate. You know, their first six entries, they kicked five straight. That's unheard of, especially for us, let alone the whole competition. So, you know, when you get that efficiency going inside 50, you really, you know, it's a battle uphill really for the rest of the game. So, you know, their efficiency was just too good for us here, and our back line was a little bit off last night in defending. But really, defence, as you and Adrian know, isn't just the defenders, it's the midfield and forwards as well.
And what about Michael Johnson with his injury? How much is that going to hurt the club going forward?
Oh, look, you know, of course he'll miss this week for sure, and then we've got the bye. So, look, hopefully we can cover him this week. We got Alex Pearce and Smithy in the playing for Peel today, and Matt Tavernier went down back for a little bit. So, you know, we should be fine for a week or so, but, yeah, we want our best players playing, so hopefully he'll be back within that 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, it was a bit sad, wasn't it, early? He went down early. It seemed like he just got pushed in the back, and, you know, sometimes, Sumi, you sort of overextend yourself and you just tweak it. So not a major one, though, by the sound of it.
No. Look, I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think so. And you're right, he just got pushed as he went to kick the ball and just overstretched.
Now, Sum, you're doing a great job at Fremantle, mate. There might be a couple of senior coaching jobs coming up. Are you available, or what's? Or should I not ask you that question? Or I reckon you'd be brilliant, mate.
Look, mate, I'll just give them this for now, mate. The question, I really want to, you know, weigh all that at the end of the year. I really want to make sure that Fremantle are in a great position right now, Baron. You know, I don't want any distractions for the club or myself. So, look, at the end of the year, that'll take care of itself. But I think where Fremantle's at, we've got to make sure that, like I said, I think it's a good opportunity for the club to play good finals footy and hopefully get to what we want to get to, and that is a grand final. So we've just got to work through that. But there's a lot of water under the bridge, of course.
No doubt. Well said, Sum. You're a great club man. Good on you, mate. All the best, eh?
Thanks, Sum.
Thanks, boys.
We are. The circus is in town today at NIB Stadium at 3:30 p.m. NIB Stadium, 3:30 p.m. The South Sydney Rabbitohs, the reigning premiers, are taking on the New Zealand Warriors. Greg Inglis will be out there. Manu Vatavai will be playing for the Warriors. You got to see this bloke, Embers. He's a winger and he's massive, mate. And he comes off the back fence and he's scary. Scary, I'll tell you.
They're all scary.
No, I've seen him play.
Just
it's
an
a big boy, isn't he?
Absolutely giant. And it's just great to have him in town. And we're going to talk to the boss of the NRL now, the head of football, Todd Greenberg, joins us on the line to discuss the future of league in this town and also the Rabbitohs Warriors game. G'day, Toddy. How are you, mate?
Morning, guys. Now, I know you're an AFL town and the circus coming to town being rugby league, I'm sure that's a positive term, right?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
We love circuses. Absolutely. Here. Don't worry. And yes, Ange?
I was going to say, it's going to be a huge game. How many people are you expecting to turn out at NIB Stadium tonight?
Well, we're hoping for a full house. It's pretty close. There are still tickets available, so that's an important message for those people who are still thinking of going to the game.
Oh, that's good news.
It will be all but sold out tonight, which is fantastic. And, you know, got to give great credit to the Rabbitohs club particularly, who've been coming back year on year to this game and have spent a lot of time in the local community making sure they do all the things outside of not just playing on the field but doing lots of other things to promote the code in Perth. And also the Warriors, who you can imagine travel a significant distance but have got a great following in Perth. So
huge.
Tonight will be, for the local people in Perth, it'll actually be a fantastic game of football. Both teams desperate for two competition points. So what you'll see on the field tonight is a really, really good game of footy.
Yeah, a mate of mine runs a couple of nightclubs and he reckons there's just no bouncers available to them. Seriously, they're all at the game, all the Kiwi bucks. And there's no removalists, apparently.
I believe that.
Now, with us, Toddy, is Andrew Embley, an AFL star. And I'm going to tell Embers now, Greg Inglis, right, played State of Origin, the biggest match in Australia, probably. And he played badly. And he had tonsillitis, was in hospital, all that sort of stuff. And after the game, he actually came out and said, I played badly. I was terrible. Nothing to do with being sick. I owe the team. I was a disgrace, basically. And I'm gonna hit back. In the AFL, I'll tell you what happens, Toddy. The player who plays badly, never see him. Never speaks. Goes in hiding. Blames everything. There's always a problem.
It's always a reason.
Nah. Credit where credit's due.
It's
good,
true,
on
isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a great man, Greg Inglis, isn't he? The captain of the Rabbitohs.
I tell you what, he's an amazing athlete. And, you know, by his own standards, as you just said then, he was quiet the other night. But what that'll mean for someone like the Warriors today to be expecting him to play well, and then he goes into State of Origin camp next week. So, yeah, for those people who haven't seen Greg Inglis play live, I mean, the price of your admission ticket alone is worth just to see him. Mm-hmm. He is, you know, one of the great rugby league players of this era, and is a phenomenal talent. He's got speed, he's got power, he's got all the athleticism, and he's dynamite to watch. So expect him to have a big game tonight.
Todd, Andrew Embley, we appreciate you coming on the show. You've been a big supporter of this show, and I think every time you're on, we ask you, will there
when's
ever
it going to happen?
Yeah. When is there going to be a team here in WA? Listen, I'm not going to ask you that question today. I'm not going to ask him. But I guess from your perspective, you must be really proud of the way that this game is actually supported when it comes to Perth.
Absolutely. And I'll give you a broader answer to probably taking the question you did want to ask anyway. But, you know, we are really proud, first of all, of the support we get in Perth. I mean, it's a really important part of our calendar to play games in areas that are non-traditional for rugby league. And, you know, the NRL this year will play games not just in Perth, but we play in Darwin, we play in regional New South Wales, in places like Bathurst. We head up to Cairns, we played a game there. We go across to New Zealand and play in places like Napier and Wellington, as well as Auckland weekly. So, you know, for us, it is about expanding our footprint. We're very conscious of that. But, you know, expansion's is a big term for us, and we've got to make sure that we do a lot of work in order to make those decisions. And you may not be aware that Shane Richardson, who's the former CEO of the Rabbitohs, has joined the NRL team, and his brief for the Commissioner, Dave Smith, is to write, you know, a long-term strategic footprint for the game, and that's where all the decisions of places like Perth and others will get wrapped up. But, you know, in simple terms, to have a near sold-out stadium tonight augurs well for the work that our locals have done in Perth. John Saxon, who heads up WA Rugby League, has increased participation rates over the last couple of years, the year-on-year increase. So, you know, we're really delighted with the growth and hope it continues.
Yeah, let's do it. Richo knows how good he's over here. 2017, 2018, come on, Toddy. We've been waiting 5 years. It'll work, brother. Trust us. It'll be no worries.
Hey, I'm glad we've got your local support. Clearly, we've got you on board, so let's get some others.
Be big on the Dead Set Legends. Good on you, mate. All the best.
Nice to talk to you guys, and as always, thanks for your ongoing support.
Yes, we're going to talk cricket now because one of our favourite West Australian cricketers had a big week. There's no doubt about that. Not only has he been selected to play Test matches for Australia after waiting many, 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 many years. He's 35. Ooh. He actually scored a century in his first Test match. He's 35 years old and 243 days, in fact. He's almost 36. to become the oldest Test cricketer to score a century on debut.
Unbelievable.
It's just fantastic.
It's unheard of.
And he's such a great bloke as well. And he must come from a great family. And I thought we'd get hold of his brother. His younger brother, I believe. Mm. Younger. That's right. Benny Voges. And talk about Adam Voges. Benny, welcome to the show, mate.
Yeah, good morning, legends. How are we?
Yeah, what about that, eh? What a week for the Voges family. I guess you thought this may never happen, but it finally has. It must be a great feeling.
Yeah, it really is. A little bit tired at the moment from trying to stay up and watch the big bro play, but very happy and a very proud family at the moment.
And I'm guessing as kids there must have been a lot of backyard cricket. How was it facing him?
Well, I didn't really get to face him too often. He was always the one with the bat. I had to bowl for about 3 or 4 hours straight before I got the bat.
In the backyard at Mum's, was it?
Classic.
Going down. So, yeah, I didn't get much of a go. And, yeah, I got about 10 or 12 wickets to his one. And, yeah, he wouldn't really let me have much of a go.
So you need to take all the credit then, Ben. Well done for all those years of just bowling and rolling that arm over. But, mate, he's almost ensured himself a spot in that first test in England. Do you guys, as a family, hop on a plane and fly over?
We are booked to head over there, yes. And, yeah, we really do hope to get to see him bat. He's done the right thing for us going out and hitting 130 not out in his first crack. So hopefully the selectors do the right thing and help us out and let us watch him.
Now, the thing that really got me about his story was the fact that about 6 years ago he could have played for Australia and he said, you know what, guys, I can't really, I'm getting married. And so he put his wedding or he put love before his cricket and everyone thought, oh, well, that's it, he's finished. Mm-hmm. He won't be able to play for Australia again. And 6 years later, not only has he done that, but he's actually scored a century. So were you surprised when he turned cricket down for his wedding?
No, not at all. That's the type of bloke that he is. He obviously loves his cricket, but family comes first. And, he had to make that very tough decision, but he stands by what he did and what he said. So, that's just the character of the bloke.
The thing I love about it too is he said, if I'm good enough, I'll get there, even if I've missed out now.
So he backed himself all the way.
He backed himself.
Well done. And it's paid off.
Exactly.
And who did he call you straight after the game the other day?
I haven't actually spoken to him yet.
Oh, you haven't?
No, he sent me a text saying that he was in the side. Uh-huh. And I've obviously texted him over the last couple of days, but I'm sure he's been inundated with plenty of texts and plenty of phone calls. So I'm not sure what's going on with his phone at the moment, but I haven't been able to get a hold of him anyway.
The funny thing too was that Christy, his wife, knew that he was in the team before him because they Cricket Australia got them to do a video. I think your dad might have done one as well and send it over to him congratulating him. And so they knew, but he hadn't been told yet.
And that to keep it a secret.
That must have been hard, mate.
Yeah, that was a whole family video that we did. We all headed up to Adam and Christy's place and sent our congratulations and all that, but I'm not sure if he did know at that stage,